In our reading, we started to read in verse 14, and it's around those verses, 14 and 15, that I want to concentrate tonight. And there are questions that have echoed right down through the ages. They're questions that the writer of Romans is addressing to the Romans. He's asking them this question. But through God's word and through the Holy Spirit, they echo right down the ages to us now. And they're simple questions. You don't need a degree to understand them. You don't even need to go to Bible college to understand these ones. They're easy. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Question one. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Question two. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Question three. And question four. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Four simple questions. And we could answer them easily tonight. How will they call on the one they have not believed? They won't. There you go. They won't. And how will they believe in the one they've not heard? They won't. And how will they hear unless someone tells them or unless they are preached to? They won't. And how will the preacher go unless they are sent? Unless we are sent, we won't. There's the answers to the questions. But beyond those simple answers, we've got to ask ourselves, is that the reason why the writer's writing them? Are they just a simple question and answer? Okay, here's the questions, there's the answers, thank you very much, job done. No, they're questions that provoke us to a simple answer, but with a profound, deep-hearted cry into our hearts of, that's not good enough. The answer, they will not, they cannot, they won't, or they, all those negative answers, should provoke in us, that's not good enough. It should provoke in us something of a deep longing that Paul talks about to tell people about this message. You see, if you are a Christian here tonight, what I mean by that, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, if you know that you've been moved from that position where you're under God's wrath, under his punishment for sin, if you've been moved into that position where you are free from the punishment of sin, not free from sin yet, not free from all its consequences, but the punishment for sin has been dealt with in Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, then there is a job for us to do. Someone said, I'm not saying I agree totally with it, but it's a good point. Someone said that the church exists for its non-members. It exists for its non-members. And there's a truth in that. The church also exists for its members, by the way. Just in case you all decide to leave. Okay? The church is there for many, many different things. One is to build up the saints. So that we meet together. Do not forsake meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. No, we're meant to meet together. We're meant to strengthen one another. We're meant to help one another. We're meant to have corporate worship. That's what we're doing tonight. We're meant to sit under the word of God. We're meant to study God's word together. We're meant to sharpen one another. Iron sharpening iron. We're meant to provoke one another to righteousness. We're meant to do all those things. But also, we are meant to reach out to others. The metaphor the Bible uses for reaching out to others is always not they will come in sometime. It's always, no, we need to go to them. Even the word we use, outreach. You will become fishers of men. There's not many places in the world where fish jump into a boat. There is one. There is one. You watch it. You can watch it on YouTube. It's amazing. There's a part of a river at a certain time of year has got so many fish in it, and if you go down in the boat, the fish jump into the boat. That's like revival for a fisherman, okay? But that's not usual. That's not the norm. No, the norm is for fishermen to catch fish, they've got to go hunting. They've got to go looking. They've got to go fishing. They've got to use different skills. Whether that's with a rod or whether it's with a net or... I don't understand fishing, really. You'll see this before long. That's it. Net, rod. Spike. Okay? There you go. That's not a great idea, though. The spike is not a great... Anyway. The whole idea, the metaphor it uses, the metaphor that Jesus uses after the great catch. He says to these fishermen, you'll no longer be fishing for the... You become fishers of men. The whole idea of Scripture, of the New Testament, is reaching out. Is getting out there. Amongst the people that need to be reached. In one way or another, the whole idea of church being a self-propagating community, that's unusual. It happens in great times of God's outpouring. Of course it does. Something amazing happens and people just flock to church. If you've been in any kind of country where there's a degree of that happening, you know I was in Uganda when there was a degree of that kind of thing happening. You could have stood up the front. You didn't need to preach. In that sense, you just needed to say, Jesus loves you. Does anybody want to be saved? Wasn't quite like that, but it was amazing. God is at work, and of course, that is, we pray for that, we hope for that. But what usually happens, by Jesus' own words, is you need to fish. You need to look for. And then Paul takes that argument on and says, hey guys, listen, how are they going to believe in someone? How are they going to call on someone they don't believe in? Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. But how are they going to call? He's setting up a logical argument. Because I'm guessing that he knew that he'd have people like me who don't like. Who are a bit stubborn. I don't want to mess up my nice, comfortable life. It's nice. It's comfortable. I don't want it to be uncomfortable. I don't want to love the unlovely. I quite like a comfortable life. You know, I like my house, my 2.4 children, and my pet. I've got 3 children, by the way, okay? Just in case you quote me that I've got 2.4, yeah. I like it. I like comfort. I like to go out and watch sport, and I like to come home, and I like to have a cup of tea. I like all the comfortable stuff. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But sometimes we need to be shaken up out of our apathy. And here's what Paul is doing here. He's shaking us up. And he's saying, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Everybody says amen. Yes. Okay. If you believe that. So how are they going to call on someone they've never heard of? Oh, sorry, they never believed in. And how are they going to believe in this God if nobody tells them? How? God's work, God's mission is a mixture of God's work with human cooperation. Do we get any of the glory? No, it's all God's work. But for some reason, we're involved in it. And for me, there is no better illustration of this in God's word than Moses. You find the story in Exodus 3, 4 and 5. It's an incredible story. If you've been in church a long time, you've been to Sunday school, you'll know the story, but I'll give you a paraphrased version. Moses was in Egypt. He became a prince of Egypt. He was looked after. We'll call him a prince for now. And he killed somebody, ran away from Egypt, became a shepherd looking after the sheep in the desert, and then he was called by God to do something amazing. 40 years being somebody, 40 years being nobody, 40 years learning how God can use nobodies. Nice breakup of Moses' life. Okay? But, when you read about the call, God says, now, I don't know if you do this, you know when you read the scripture, do you sometimes put yourself in a situation? I do it quite often, I don't know, I've got a pictorial mind, so I can see myself and how I would react. Now, we don't know if Moses reacted like I would react, okay? Okay, I don't know. But there's a point in Exodus 3 and God says, I have heard the cry of my people. And I am going to release them. Now, if I was Moses there, I'd be going, yes, God. Yes. And then he says, and I'm going to take them out from under the slave bearers. Yes. And I'm going to lead them into a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, God. And I'm going to do this, God says. Yes, God. And then he says, no, Moses, go. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. If you don't believe, you read it. You can see, you can nearly see it. Moses' reaction. And then Moses starts to go in, but full of excuses. Read it again. I love it. Because Moses gives excuse after excuse after excuse and God answers him. And then it comes right down to the brass tacks. And Moses, unlike Isaiah, who said, here am I, God, send me. Moses goes, please send someone else. But at least he's honest. And how many of us have said that? Yeah, we know it's right to go and tell people about Jesus. We know it's right. But please send somebody else. You know, I'm not that way gifted. I know, I don't know enough. I can't really speak as well as other people. Or I'm a bit shy in front of people. My friends, the Word of God commands us to go. And the love of God should impassion us to go. It's not only an obedience of a command, it is. We should go, whether we like it or not, because we're commanded to tell. But also the love of God. In view of God's mercy, Romans 12. In view of God's mercy, therefore, I urge you to lay your lives down as living sacrifices. So you've got Moses is here and he comes to the brass tacks. Please send somebody else. And God speaks to him. In fact, it says God was angry with him. I love Exodus 5, verse 1, says this. And Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. You see, much better having someone who will say all the wrong things than Moses does. You know, send somebody else. I can't speak. Gives all the excuses. But at the end, Moses went. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. Jesus says a parable about it, doesn't he? Better to have somebody who says no, 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 but actually does it, than someone who says yeah, and does nothing. You know, our Christian life isn't about how we look in front of others, how we speak. No, it's about what we do. I'm not talking about being saved now. That's all of God's work. But what have you done? What have you done with this message? What have you done with it? Have you shared it? Have you given it to other people? Are you attempting to? We can't determine the response. We can't determine whether people will accept it or reject it. We haven't got that right. That's God's work. I'm not even talking about doing this in a formal way. In fact, I try to myself unformulate my outreach and evangelism. I found myself, as soon as I was going somewhere to do evangelism, I'd become somebody else. You know, that's just me. It might be different, but you know, you say to someone, okay, we're gonna go and do some evangelism. I go, all right, evangelism, right. Do evangelism. We've got to get the 4 points in. I've got to do this. And all of a sudden, I'm not anymore Mike Adams. I'm much better off just going somewhere and asking God, you know, Lord, I'd love to share with you about you here and give me opportunities. And when you pray that prayer, God can answer that prayer. And sometimes he gives you opportunities. And if we're honest, sometimes we take them and sometimes we don't. But I want to share the gospel. Or sometimes I don't want to share the gospel, but God, keep me to your word. Don't let me off the hook, God. Because I do want to see people being saved. And is it any glory of mine? No, but it's God's work. And sometimes we need to relook at evangelism. We need to relook at it. We need to reprioritize it in our own personal lives. You know, we believe, don't we, in the priesthood of all believers. We don't believe that just one person can pray for us. No, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Our high priest is Jesus, of course, one mediator between God and man. But for all of us, we can enter the throne room of God in prayer. We don't believe we've got to confess in the same way as confession in some places. We don't believe that. We believe we can just confess directly to God. And yet, when it comes to evangelism, we think, oh, it's only a few people who can do that. No, no, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that all of us have got a message to share. Acts 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to be my witnesses. Not to do witnessing. Not to be my witnesses. We're all a witness. I don't only believe in silent witness, just to say that. I do believe in silent witness, in what your life says. I believe in that. But not just that. We're meant to show and tell. Show and tell. Our life must model something. Our words must match up to it. Our words must say something and our life must match up to it. Whichever way you prefer. But we need to rethink our evangelism. 6 nations has just come to an end. I don't know about you, but I'm a rugby fan. I was a rugby fanatic, but now I'm just a fan. I've calmed down in my old age. Or as I'm getting older, I'm not old, but as I'm getting older. I want you to imagine, if you would, Rob Howley or Warren Gatland phoning me up. They don't look with such great disbelief, right, okay? He phones me up and he says, Mike, is this Mike Adams from Llwynhendy internationally. I said, yes, it is. We'd love you to play for Wales. I would say that, I think you've got the wrong Mike Adams. Although I did play rugby, I never reached that standard. Even when I was at my best, I was way, way below that standard. And now, I'm not even at my best. I know it's hard to believe. Right? He said, no, we want you. I would say, Warren, because we're on first name terms by now. Warren, I'm going to let you down. He says, I know. I'm going to let my team down. He says, I know. I'm going to make mistake after mistake after mistake. He says, I know. And I say to him, so why do you want me to play for Wales? He says, for the honour. If that was to happen, it's not going to, but if it was to happen, I'd bite his hand off. I know I'd last one kickoff, probably 30 seconds, not even a minute, because when I get it by any of the opposition, that's it, isn't it? That's in the size of these blokes, they're massive. I'm off. I've left the team down. I would still take the chance, you know why? Because I've got a cup. What an honour. I played for my country. Well, tonight, through Romans 10:14, there's a greater than Gatland asking you, will you be involved? But Lord, I'm going to let you down. I know. But I haven't got all the words to say. I know. I'm going to let my teammates down. He goes, I know. Could you send somebody else? I could, but I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you, church. I'm choosing you with all your failures, with all your weaknesses, with all the things that you're messed up with. I'm choosing you with all the stuff that you don't want anybody else to know. I'm choosing you, church, to be my witness. Why, Lord? Because I love you. And for the honour of serving me. Hey, that honour is more than a Welsh cap, isn't it? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is inviting us to be a part of his work on planet Earth. To be a part of his global plan. Foolishness to us, isn't it? God's wisdom defies our foolishness. Defies what we call foolish. Because through broken men and women throughout the ages, through people who don't deserve it, through men and women, you'd say, how is God going to use these? God has ministered his grace to others, and he's seen many, many people being changed through broken men and women. How shall they hear? How shall they believe in the one they've not heard of? And how shall they hear unless someone preaches to them or tells them? And how shall a preacher go unless they are sent? My friends, we've all been sent. We haven't all been sent over the sea. We haven't all been sent to another people group or another language. But we've all been sent. Jesus left us with these words. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Go. You know, some people say, I'm just praying whether I should go or not. You don't have to pray. Just pray if you should stay. You're meant to go. You've been commanded to go. Where? Well, don't worry about that too much. God will make that clear, but go. Go. Make disciples. Go and make disciples. In your workplace, go and make disciples. Not, don't use it as an excuse not to do your work, mind. That's not good witness. But when you get a chance in your workplace, in your social time, when you're meeting people, whatever you do in your social time, whether you're in a sports club or in a reading club or a knitting club or whatever clubs, go and make disciples. Ask God to give you opportunity. And when they come, try to grasp them with two hands. Yes, in a loving, relevant, attractive manner. But still, the gospel. Undiluted. Let's have a reason why we believe what we believe. Let's talk to people. Let's gossip the gospel. Let's preach the gospel. Let's share the gospel through tracts, through books, through videos, through whatever. But let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we believe it's the power of God unto salvation, don't we? It saves. It saved me. Hallelujah. And if you're a Christian, it saved you. Hallelujah. And it can save in Clydach today. It can change children's lives in schools today. It can change people from overseas who are visiting Swansea for whatever reason today. It can change our nation, our continent, the nations today. Why? Because it's God's authority and God's power. Why does he choose people like us? Ultimately, I'm not sure. But I think it's because he loves us. And he wants us to share in the honour of being involved in his great mission of reaching planet Earth. The question, as we finish tonight, is this. It's not a question for your minister alone, or for your leadership, or your eldership, or just your deacons. It's a question for the whole of the church. Are you willing to be a part of the answer? Are you willing to be part of the answer? Are you willing, whichever circles you find yourself, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to that place? And when you don't reach a circle, as a church, are you willing to discover some circles that we need to enter? And then go into them. Take the gospel into every sphere that you possibly can in this area and beyond. Amen.